Would you please turn with me this evening in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, after telling us in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter that we are to present ourselves to God for His use and for His service in light of all that God has done for His people in salvation, then goes on in verses 3 and following of this chapter to tell us the various ways in which our new lives in Christ are to manifest themselves towards others. Well, as Paul begins to expound this theme, notice with me what we read, picking up at verse 9 of this chapter, and I'll read to verse 13. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to verse 13. Paul writes, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Well, before we come to God's word for tonight, let's once again pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon our time. Let's pray, brethren. Our Father, what can we say other than we are debtors to your free and sovereign grace? Oh God, none of us would be here tonight if you had not drawn us with cords of everlasting kindness. And how we thank you, oh God, for drawing us by your love, wooing us by your grace, and conquering us by your truth. We thank you, O God, for the mighty work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that redemption which he has procured for us there upon Calvary's hill. We thank you for his burial and his resurrection and his present intercession even now at your right hand. O God, we thank you for so great a salvation, that all that we need to be accepted by you has been accomplished by the doings and dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, for our Savior. We thank you, O God, for this opportunity to be in your presence tonight. Our Father, we would ask then, in light of these things, that you would come and help us. O God, we have no strength in and of ourselves. We are weak. You've told us in your word that a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. So, O God, if we would receive anything good this night, we ask that you would grant it to us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon us, even now afresh. Send him, we pray, O God. Encourage us as we study your word. Illuminate to us, we pray and plead, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I begin tonight's message with three quotations in connection with the subject that we began last Lord's Day regarding hospitality. Firstly, in speaking about believers in the church in Corinth in the first century, written in A.D. 76, an early church father writes about this congregation and says, quote, "Indeed, was there ever a visitor in your midst that did not approve your excellent and steadfast faith or did not proclaim the magnificent character of your hospitality?" Secondly, in writing about the early church in Rome in the first and second centuries, one historian says about these believers that, quote, "A living interest in the collective church of Christ throbbed with unusual vigor throughout the Roman church, and the practice of hospitality was one of its manifestations." Finally, quoting Gustav Stalin in his scholarly work of ancient Christian hospitality, he makes this marvelous claim when he writes, quote, one of the most prominent features in the picture of early Christianity, which was so rich in good works, is undoubtedly its hospitality. Well, we come once again this evening to take up the very important subject of hospitality that we began last week. Hospitality, as I mentioned last Lord's Day, is very much a dying grace in this world, and unfortunately, it's becoming the same way in many churches. What was once common practice throughout evangelicalism is now almost never practiced anymore. Sadly, people can visit a local Bible-believing church for years and never get invited to a person's home for fellowship and a meal. What we're seeing happening today in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ is that many places are simply imbibing the mindset of the world. Guest in my home? No, we don't do that. We like our own comfortable little spaces, and we really don't like when others get in our way. So goes the thinking of many. Brethren, these kinds of notions ought never to be in our minds. Hospitality, even as we heard just a moment ago in the three different quotations that I cited, has always marked out the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. This has always been one of her distinguishing marks from inception. Hospitality, according to the Word of God, is a non-optional, morally binding obligation that God lays upon us as His people in His Word. And if you and I are going to be all that God wants us to be in this place for His glory and the good of others, then this is a duty that you and I need to continually grow in if we are going to be pleasing to our God. Well, when we began this subject last week, we really tackled the bulk of this topic. And let me just encourage anyone here tonight who was not here last Lord's Day to listen to that message that we, again, considered last Lord's Day evening, so that all of us as a church could be on the same page regarding this vital subject. Now, with regard to what we covered last week, so that we can have some connection to tonight's message, I want to spend just a few minutes to review what we covered last time. Last Lord's Day, we began our exposition of this subject of hospitality by considering, firstly, its meaning. Hospitality, its meaning. As we began to study this material, we spent some time looking at Paul's words that I just read in the opening tonight, which are found in Romans 12 and verse 13b. Notice them again. Romans 12, verse 13b. Paul says that we are to be given to hospitality. Now, this one English word here for hospitality is made up of two Greek words, and in defining its meaning, we saw that to be a person who is hospitable to others is to be one who is a lover of guest or strangers. To be a lover of guest or strangers. The idea in the word is to be one who is kind to others, and that kindness is to express itself by providing for the needs of people without expecting anything in return. Well, this is what Paul is calling these believers in Rome to do, and by way of extension, church, he's calling us to do the same. Paul says that we are to be given to hospitality. This is how spirit-filled, transformed, offering themselves to God in all that they do, believers are to live their lives. They are to be given to hospitality. Literally, they are to be zealously pursuing hospitality with great vigor and with great effort. Well, after then considering hospitality, its meaning, we came secondly to consider hospitality, its motif. Hospitality, its motif. And under this heading, all that I sought to do was to quote several passages regarding hospitality, those examples, and we considered two of those passages where the practice of hospitality is shown in the Word of God. There's so many references in the Word of God to this practice that I really had to limit myself. Well, after mentioning several examples of it, such as the example of Jethro to Moses, Joseph's kind treatment of his brothers, and David's hospitality to Mephibosheth, we finally came for our Old Testament picture of this and just parked on the example of Abraham as recorded in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. There in that passage, we spent a few minutes and looked at how it was that when Abraham was visited by the Lord in the form of three men, that he, without delay, warmly greeted these guests and freely and fully provided for their needs. Abraham wanted these men to rest. He wanted them to be refreshed, and so he eagerly prepared a good meal for them in order to take care of them. Well, after looking at this motif of hospitality as contained in the Old Testament, we then saw this motif of hospitality as continued in the New Testament. And here again, after mentioning several examples of hospitality in the New Testament, such as our Lord's example of the feeding of the 5,000, the example of the early church in Acts chapter 2, Lydia's treatment of Paul and his companions there in the book of Acts, we then came to park just on one passage, and it was found in 3 John verses 5 to 8. 3 John verses 5 to 8. And there in that passage, we saw that the Apostle John highly commends Gaius for his love for the brethren because he richly and abundantly provided for all their needs. Gaius was a man who loved the brethren, and out of that love, he richly showed hospitality to all the saints. Finally, then, last week, we ended our time together by simply asking the question, what is to be the inner disposition of our hearts as we seek to fulfill this ethical obligation that the Word of God lays upon us in regards to being hospitable to others? Well, we saw from our Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 that the answer was that the Apostle Peter exhorts us and says that we are to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That's the inner disposition that you and I are supposed to have. Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when it comes to being hospitable to others, this is the inner posture that you and I are to have when we minister to others in this way. We are to do it with God's help, most gladly, most willingly, and most freely, without complaining. Well, this is where we pick up then for this evening. We've seen that God's Word calls us to vigorously seek to be hospitable to others. We've seen that this hospitality is something that is shown all throughout the Word of God. And finally, we've seen that as you and I seek to display this virtue to others, the disposition that we are to have in doing it is to be one of joy and one of gladness. Well, it would be nice if I could just stop the message here and say, well, having said all that, the church is going to run out and be very hospitable towards every single person that they meet. It would be nice if, just having considered the exposition of all the things that we've seen last week, that hospitality will begin just to flourish in this place in great amounts. But, you know, you and I can have all the right understanding of this topic before us, having seen its principles and examples in the Bible, and yet still, all of this is not always enough to move us in the mode of action. Isn't that the case? That's the case sometimes. It's sad, but it's true. We can see all that the Bible has to say and walk away from it and say, okay, that's nice. Let's move on. The bare belief in a biblical obligation, such as being hospitable to others, does not always equate to the actual practicing of it. And so what I would like to do tonight is to move away from the simple theory of hospitality to the actual practice of hospitality. And as we do so, the focus of our attention will be upon the implementation of hospitality to others, the implementation of hospitality to others. Having seen hospitality, its meaning, its motif, and its manner, let's come finally then for tonight in the part two of this message to consider hospitality, its method, its method. How can you and I become the doers of this duty of hospitality and not merely hearers only? Well, what I would like to do tonight is to give you some practical suggestions in order to help you to be able to fill this obligation to others. Church, I want us as a congregation to grow in even greater measures of this practice in our congregation. And so this evening, I'm going to attempt to do this by dealing firstly with some negative matters and then secondly with some positive matters in connection with our stated topic. Some negative matters and then secondly, some positive matters. Firstly, negatively, when you and I think of fulfilling this obligation of having people in our homes, usually there are some immediate hindrances that pop into our minds that seek to prevent us from accomplishing this biblical task. Well, what I would like to do tonight with God's help, in order to help us to carry out this moral obligation to others, is to address some of these things and seek to remove these barriers far from us. And then secondly, after I do this, I want to give you some positive suggestions so that you and I can grow in even greater measures of this biblical calling of being hospitable to others. So two things, firstly, negative, and then secondly, positive. So let's start then with the negative. What are some of the major hindrances to us accomplishing this biblical duty of being hospitable to others? Well, over the years and speaking to many different people about this issue, I have heard two primary concerns from people, and these two matters are what I want us to focus on this evening. Two primary issues as far as hindrances. What are they? Well, the first one is finding the time to do all the cooking and cleaning. And the second one is having the funds to have a family in our house to feed. Finding the time and having the funds. It's these two legitimate concerns that I would like us to deal with tonight in the outset. Firstly, then, if you and I are going to be those who carry out this biblical practice of being hospitable to others, let's speak for a few minutes about the hindrance of finding time to do all the cooking and cleaning for our guest. Surely all of us live very, very busy lives. There's no doubt about this. Most of us are spread very, very thin between work and, for many of the moms, the homeschooling, taking the kids hither and yon with respect to all the various sports activities, dance activities, and several other activities that go on in all of our homes. How in the world can we, on top of doing all of these things, possibly find time to have families in our homes so that we can now minister to them? Well, let me suggest that concerning this matter of finding time to do the cooking and the cleaning, when it comes to being hospitable to others, you and I, and this would be a nice sentence to write down, you and I must remember that this type of fellowship is not a formal dinner. You and I must remember that this type of fellowship, what I'm calling for in these two sermons, is not a formal dinner. Now, when I say that hospitality, in the sense of us regularly expressing goodwill to others in our homes, as we've been speaking about, is not to be a formal dinner, what do I mean? Well, I mean that when it comes to being hospitable to others, we are not to have in our minds that which we normally see happening in a person's house around the holiday times, right? You're familiar with the scene, the decorative centerpiece in the middle of the table, the fine linen cloth. The best china and silverware are out. Soup and salad bowls are all displayed. The place settings are at least 1 inch from the edge of the table. A 5-course meal has been prepared, which of course includes an appetizer, soup, entree, salad, and dessert. And of course, there's always nice music playing in the background. Now, ladies, listen. If this is the type of meal you want to have, for my family and I, when it comes to having someone over. That sounds great. I'm all for that. But I really do not think that this is what God has in mind when he, from his word, calls us to be hospitable to others. When the Bible calls us as God's people to be hospitable, it does not at all tell us that this is to be some elaborate meal that has to take 4 weeks to plan and several days to prepare. No, not at all. As you and I think about having people in our homes to show them hospitality, we are not to be thinking that our homes must be immaculate and that we are to be serving up flaming yawn. Brethren, we're to be thinking about serving people's basic needs. We're to be thinking about providing a good meal for them. We're to be thinking about fellowshipping together in and around the things of God. This is the biblical picture. Nothing more, nothing less. Listen with me for a moment to John Piper. John Piper, in speaking to his congregation about this matter of being hospitable, he says, quote, "Last Sunday, we attended the First Baptist Church of Cambridge, and we got invited out to dinner after church by Alma Bjork." He says, "All six of us." Alma, he says, is a widow with nobody at home to help her add six extra places to her table, along with the six other people that she already invited. But she is thinking strategically. She has lost her great missionary husband. And so, what does she do? Yield to self-pity? Focus on the good old days? No. She starts to think strategically on how she can use her kitchen and her living room to be a launching pad for the ministry and missions. Much of this we spoke about last week in the message. Well, Piper goes on to describe his experience at Alma's kitchen or house, and he says regarding the hospitality that there was, quote, "nothing fancy about it as 13 of us ate in her kitchen." He says it was perfect. "I want to go back." He exclaims, "Abraham had his dessert on the floor." And then Piper exhorts his own congregation and says, "Forget about trying to impress anybody. Paper plates," he says, "are most appropriate for Sunday dinner." Paper plates. Yes, that's what he says. Could you imagine? Yes. He says nobody, and I really like this, should have to spend Sunday afternoon washing dishes. Amen. I like that. I like that. Brethren, I trust you get the essence of what John Piper is saying when it comes to being hospitable to others. And I ask you, dear church, if God does not call us to have big, elaborate, five-course meals when it comes to having others into our home so that we could minister to them, why do we think that we need to do this? Well, where is this coming from? Why can't we use paper plates when we have guests over during the Lord's Day or throughout the week? Why do we need to make being hospitable to others more time-consuming than it already is? And I realize it is time-consuming. Why can't we just eat simple meals together in fellowship around the things of God? We're not trying to impress anyone, right? No. We're simply trying to obey what the Bible says. We're simply trying to be biblical. We're trying to joyfully follow God's word to the end that others would be blessed and God would be glorified through us. When it comes to being hospitable to others, we need to approach this matter of preparing meals and having our houses completely spotless from a whole different perspective. These things, rightly understood, should never be a hindrance for us obeying God in this area. These things are not from God, these hindrances of having a big meal and a house that's completely spotless. And if it's not from God, it's from us, or worse. And therefore, we ought to completely have these thoughts banished from our minds. Now, I must qualify. Having said all that I've just said, does this mean that we should not seek to cook good, satisfying meals for other people? Is that what it means? No, it does not mean that. We should seek to cook good, satisfying meals for other people. Does it mean that we should not seek to have a good mix between starches and vegetables? No, it doesn't mean that. We should seek to have a good mix between starches and vegetables. Does it mean that our homes should be messy? It does not. Our homes should be neat. But my point is this, church. Having people over for a healthy, well-balanced, non-five-course meal without linen tablecloth in a neat home should not be all that time-consuming to prepare. Having someone over for a healthy, well-balanced meal in a neat home should not be all that time-consuming to prepare. Church, dear wives, you and I must never forget what being hospitable to others, biblically speaking, is all about. Ladies, listen, biblical hospitality is not about social entertaining. It is not about social entertaining the way the world defines it. Ladies, your homes do not need to be spotless. Your meals do not need to be the kind of meals that people won't stop talking about for months. Hospitality is all about loving others, loving guests, loving strangers, having them in your homes, ministering to them for their good and for God's glory. Well, someone might ask the question then. Can we take care of people's needs physically, I'm speaking now, in our homes, simply by making a big chicken salad? Yes, we can. Could we do this in our homes by having sandwiches and soup for people when they come over? Yes, we can. Can we do this by making meatloaf or hot dogs or hamburgers or even sandwiches? Just sandwiches. The answer is absolutely yes, we could. And in doing so, brethren, we would do very well. And so I repeat, the issue of us having no time to prepare meals for others and to get our houses clean as a hindrance to us being hospitable to others in our homes really should not be an issue when we keep these perspectives before us. Brethren, when it comes to being hospitable to others, we need to think basic, not ballroom. Basic, not ballroom. So what practical suggestions can I give you under this first concern? Well, firstly then, ladies, a practical suggestion when it comes to having others in your homes in light of time constraints. Number one, my suggestion is that you would collect a file of quick recipes for meals. That you would collect a file of quick recipes for meals. I know that several popular authors have those 30-minute meal books out. I'm sure you can get much of that online. At my house, oftentimes we have a 30-minute meal prepared by my wife, and those meals are always very good and very nutritious. In addition, ladies, you might want to think when it comes to having others in your homes, having crock-pot meals. When it comes to having guests over, essentially you put the food in, you season it, and you come home, and it's done. Notice I said essentially. Some of you will talk to me later and say, there's more to do than that. Essentially. And finally, by way of a practical suggestion, as I mentioned last week in regard to having our homes neat, children, teens, this is where you can really help out. When it comes to having people in your home, teens, kids, children, ask mom and dad, what can I do to help out? I understand the Tatrils are coming over. I understand the Buckleys are coming over tomorrow. The Philippines are going to be here. What can I do, Mom, Dad, to help get the house in order? This ministry of being hospitable to others is not to fall upon the heads of just one or two persons. The old expression is what? Many hands make the work light, right? Well, it's true. And many hands also make the time of preparation for guests coming over a lot shorter. So kids, teens, anyone under an adult, chip in. Adults as well. Secondly, then, for tonight, negatively, in speaking about being hospitable to others, let's talk about the hindrance of having the funds to have families into our houses to feed. Surely this is a real concern, especially in the times that we are living in. Things are very tight. Well, I believe that firstly, if we follow my first counsel for keeping the meal simple, this will greatly help. I want to say also, secondly, though, that this hospitality that we are to show to others is not something that needs to happen 3 or 4 times a week, right? Now, are we to eagerly go after being hospitable to others? We are. We looked at the word dioko, the Greek word given, English word for given, last week. We're to pursue it. We're to chase it down. We're to track it down with all zealousness and eagerness. We're to go after being hospitable to others. But that doesn't mean we have to keep people over 3 or 4 times a week. We are to be eager to invite people over. However, perhaps you noticed in my exposition of Romans last Lord's Day that I did not say how many times a week or a month or a year that you and I are supposed to do this. Could you and I fulfill what Paul has commanded us in Romans 12 and verse 13b simply by having people over once a week? Yes, we could. Could you and I fulfill his words by having people over once every other week or once a month or even once every other month? Yes, we could. We absolutely could. The idea, church, is to be consistent. To be consistent. Our God is not concerned with how many times we have people over. No. He's concerned, rather, that we are having people over. And this obviously is connected to how often we could afford this. Many believers are just getting by on what they make. Well, God knows this. And if you can only have people over once a month, well, then do it to the praise and glory of God. But do it once a month within your budget. Having low funds should never be an obstacle for us to have people over to our homes. God knows how much we have, and God knows how much we do not have. And when we obey his command to serve others, our God will always take care of our lack. I'm reminded at this point of how the poor widow in Zarephath ministered to the prophet Elijah. And that account is set forth for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17. Let's turn there and take a look at this wonderful account. The poor widow taking care of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17. Well, she takes care of Elijah and God richly blesses her for it. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 17. 1 Kings. Did I say Corinthians again? Forgive me. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We have here in this chapter of the book of Kings, the prophet Elijah leaving the presence of wicked Ahab, as God had commanded him to do after he had told him that there was going to be a drought in the land. Well, as Elijah heads out and flees to the east, he drinks the water from the brook while the ravens bring him food. Well, as he had prophesied, the drought came on the land and the brook dried up. Well, picking up then at verse 8 of this chapter, notice with me what we read. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. Notice with me. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is Elijah, saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Verse 12. So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Talk about poverty. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son." Verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. What a wonderful account in the word of God. We see in this passage the very faithful service of this poor widow to this servant of God, and how she was richly rewarded by God for it. This poor widow had no bread, just some flour and some oil, and apparently she knew that this was going to be the last meal that she and her son were ever going to eat, because she says in verse 12 that after we eat this, we're going to die. I mean, you talk about lean times, here it is, brethren. Speak about the hindrance of not having any funds to supply the needs for others. There can be no better example than this in the Word of God. The widow is utterly destitute. She has nothing but the promise from God that he will take care of her needs. So what does she do? Well, by the grace of God, she obeys the word of God, and the Lord totally provides for all that she needs. God richly blesses her household with prosperity, enabling the oil in the jar and the flour in the pot to miraculously be replenished meal after meal. Church, in regarding the issue of providing for others, you and I need to remember, according to Hebrews 6 and verse 10, that our God is not unjust to forget our works of labor, the works of labor of love, which we have shown towards his name, in that we minister to the saints and do minister. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. The writer says God is not unjust to forget when we labor for others and when we minister in his name to the saints. Brethren, God sees all that we do. And when out of our tight budgets we seek to serve others, the Lord will always reward that. As we seek to minister to others, even in times of financial hardship, our God will provide for our needs, just like he did the widow in the passage. He's not unjust to forget the good deeds that we have shown towards others for his name's sake. Well, then, having seen this evening how it is that you and I could negatively avoid those hindrances, legitimate at times before us, which might cause us to not want to have others over, I want to end this evening now positively by simply making three practical suggestions for the implementation of hospitality so that you and I can grow in greater measures in this biblical calling. Three practical suggestions now positively for the implementation of hospitality. And the first is this. If you and I are going to become proficient in this virtue towards others, we need to plan ahead when it comes to having others over. We need to plan ahead when it comes to having others over. Plan ahead. What does that mean? It means we need to open our calendars and ask the question, honey, when would be a good time for you to have somebody over? Something my wife and I do when it comes to us strategically planning to have people over is to pull out our books and ask that very question. When is the next time in your schedule that you have a free night, day, when we can have someone over? We must plan for this, brethren. Nothing happens well in the world without having a clearly defined plan. And it's the same thing when it comes to being hospitable to others. We must plan for this. We must take out our calendars and look through the weeks and say, okay, we've got an open spot here, an open spot here, and an open spot here. Let's seek to have people over. So here's my advice. If you really want to obey God and being hospitable to others, when you go home tonight, men and women, take out your calendars, look at some open dates, and fill them up. Fill them up We want to practically do it. We want to obey God in this area. This is how you and I can get from just the notion of being hospitable to others to the actual practicing of it. Secondly, then, if you and I are going to become proficient in this virtue of being hospitable to others, then we need to be systematic in our approach. We need to be systematic in our approach. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, simply put, I mean that for most of us, we're always going to have certain movings towards certain individuals, those we really like or those that are the best that we have wonderful conversations with. We're going to constantly ask typically the same people over all the time, the same three or four families. Well, we have a big church and we want to spread the love, as it were. We want to do it in an orderly way. So if we're going to affect the most people for the most good, then we need to be systematic in our approach of having people over into our homes. So what do I recommend? Well, I suggest as a general guide that when it comes to having people over in your home, firstly, that you use the directory that we have for the church. Use the church's directory. Start from the beginning and work your way through all the families. And when you get to the end, start over, begin again. Use the directory. It's a wonderful systematic, alphabetized, orderly way to be able to be sure that, yes, we have had all the various different families over at our house at different intervals. Also, if you want to break that up a bit, maybe just for a season, you want to focus on having visitors over to your home. We're just going to have the visitors over for the next 6 months. Everyone who walks through that door, of course, after we get to know them a little bit and get a good sense for who they are. We spoke about that last week. We're going to have the visitors over. Hands off, everyone. We've got all the visitors for the next 6 months. Okay. Enjoy them. Or again, to reach just another varied group, you might want to say, for the next few months, we're just going to focus on our neighbors. We're going to knock on the doors around us, the people in our area, and this would be what we talked about last week. Seek to gospelize them, seek to have them in our homes, speak to them, get to know them, have devotions with our children, with them in our midst, so that they can start hearing the things pertaining to God and His gospel. So we need to be systematic in our approach. However you decide to have people over, seek to do it in some orderly, systematic way so that you and I can be the most benefit to the most amount of people. Finally, then, for tonight, if you and I are going to be proficient or become proficient in this grace of being hospitable to others, then we ought to speak to those among us who themselves are proficient in this grace of hospitality so that we can learn from them. The Puritan Cotton Mather once said, quote, "Examples do strangely charm us into imitation." Isn't it true? They strangely charm us into imitation. I believe he's right. Good examples are very powerful. And when we see someone who's very gifted at a virtue or a grace, you and I ought to bind ourselves to them and ask them, please give me the details. What do? How do you plan it? How do you get your house ready so quickly in a way that it at least is presentable for people to come in and to be in your home? And brethren, we could thank God that God in this place has given us many good examples of families that are hospitable to others. We have some great ladies and families in this regard, so speak to them, learn from them, watch them. You know, it was the many, many great examples that my wife and I had at Englewood Baptist Church over the years that helped us and molded us to be the type of family that we try to be today in this area. And we thank God for that. It was just, as I said last week, time and time again, people inviting us over, seeing how it was done. And that example has stuck with us even until this day. Good hospitality is very much a learned art. One with the blessing of God could be very useful in His hands for the benefit of others and for the glory of His own name. Well, may it be, church, that having considered all that we've seen in this matter regarding being hospitable to others, that you and I will continue to grow in this biblical grace. Don't you want to be more hospitable to others? It's a wonderful way to demonstrate the grace of our God to others. It's a wonderful way, as we talked about last week, to get close to the brethren. And it's a wonderful way for sinners to hear about Christ and to consider his claims over them. This aspect of us being involved in being hospitable to others is a wonderful opportunity for us to be a blessing to many, many people, both spiritually and physically. In church, if our God places a high premium on this subject, talking about it all throughout his own word, then I think you and I ought to do the same. This is not some small little sidelight item. This is a big ticket item, and I think we ought to be concerned with it just as God himself is. My prayer is that the Lord will continue to give us much help as a congregation in this area. I thank God again, as I said last week, for the many opportunities I have had to be in probably all of your homes. I rejoice. But brethren, we need to grow. We need to grow in this area. As a church, as a congregation, I know that your desire in life is to see God's people, the grace of God in your life touching the lives of other people. And I know that you want to be obedient to God in all that he's called you to do. Well, may it be that as you and I seek to follow God in this vital area of being hospitable to others, that these two great ends will be realized in our midst. Well, let's pray and commit this whole topic and matter to the Lord our God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it gives us such wonderful pictures, much different than what the world would tell us we should be doing with our time. Lord, this is a basic way, a straightforward way, which your word calls us to do when it comes to ministering to others. But Lord, we believe that through the means of being hospitable to others, you can accomplish great things. We know, O Lord, that many of us have been refreshed time and time again through this ministry of your people. And we ask, O God, tonight, having concluded this two-part series on hospitality, that you would encourage us, O God, and that we would abound more and more in this sacred grace. Help us, O God, to be a church that grows in these things. Help us to love serving others, even our Lord, as you came not to be served, but to serve and to give your life a ransom for many. We thank you for your great salvation, O God. And having saved us, we pray that we would follow you in this manner of serving others for the glory and praise of your own holy name. We ask it through Jesus our Lord. Amen.